Ladies and gentlemen, federal employees, welcome to today's episode where we're going to talk about the best investment strategy in the TSP for 2024, the things you should be thinking about, the things you should not be thinking about and should not be worried about. And if you are looking to maximize your TSP and make sure you get the growth that's appropriate for your situation, then you are in the right spot. So let's dive into today. Now, if you're new here, so good to have you. My name is Dallin Hawes. I'm a financial planner who helps federal employees maximize their benefits and get the most out of their money and to retire confident. Now, again, let's dive in. There are really three things as a federal employee that you have any control over when it comes to the TSP. Number one, you control how much you contribute into the TSP. You have control over that, okay? And the reason I emphasize you have control over it is because we have absolutely no control over what the stock market does or what the G fund returns or anything that we don't know, right? We don't know what interest rates are going to be. We don't know what tax rates are going to be. We can't tell the future. So it's critical that you focus on the few things that you actually have control over and focus on improving those things. That's how you're going to get the best results possible in the TSP. And again, the first thing that you can control is how much you contribute. Okay? Long story short, the more you contribute, the more you're going to have at retirement. Can you do a little bit more? With that pay raise that happened early 2024, can you put a piece of that? And can you contribute that into the TSP or a piece of it? Right? What can you do to improve how you're saving for retirement? Can you do a little bit more? That's number one. Next. Traditional versus Roth. The other thing you have control over is whether to put your money in the traditional TSP or the Roth. And which one you pick makes a big difference, right? If you put money in the traditional, you get the tax break now. If you put $10,000 in there, you get a tax deduction of $10,000, right? If you put the $10,000 in the Roth, you get no tax deduction now, but that $10,000 can grow. All of that growth and the original amount comes out tax-free later, right? Here's the deal. I've got whole videos on whether you should do traditional or Roth, so go check that out if you want the full deal. But this is the shortened version. If you're young and early in your career, most of the time you probably want to focus on Roth because your earnings, what you make, are probably going to go up significantly over time, and your money has so many years to compound and grow tax-free in the Roth. Okay? If you are late career and you're making as much as you're ever going to make, maybe consider traditional to get the tax break then, right? And maybe your tax bracket moves down a little bit in retirement. Just depends on where you're at. But those are kind of the overarching principles. Obviously, there's a lot of nuance in there. But those are the things to consider. Okay? If you're early, mid, start of your career, Roth probably makes a ton of sense. Traditional for those that are making as much as they're going to make. Those are, again, the general principles. But I've got a whole video on traditional versus Roth, so definitely go check that out. That is the other thing that you control. You control where you put your money, whether traditional or Roth. Okay? Last but not least, how you invest it, right? The next thing you can control on the TSP is how you invest your TSP, which funds you use. Okay? Now, I'm going to go over some general principles again on how you should probably invest depending where you're at in your career. But keep in mind, when people make investment decisions, what do? Right? They often go to the TSP website and say, hey, how did the C fund do last year? Should I invest in the C fund? How did the G fund do last year? Should I invest in that? Right? And overall, that is a really dumb way of doing it. Okay? Now, are looking at the returns for previous, can that be interesting? Sure, definitely. However, looking at what something did last year and assuming that's gonna happen this year is just foolish, right? Because we know there's a lot of fluctuation in the stock market and interest rates, which affects what the G fund does, right? There's tons of variation in different things. Things are not gonna perform the same every year. It's gonna vary significantly, and it has significantly over the last few years. Okay? So it's so important for you to not make decisions every single year like, oh, I think this is going to happen. No, you got to make your decisions based on the principles of how these investments work, and over time, they'll average out to the principles. Okay? But every year, year to year, we have absolutely no clue how they're going to perform. Over time, we do, right? Over time, we've got a 100-year track record of what things do over time. Short term, we have no clue. Okay? So don't make your decisions based on any short-term data, right? Make your decisions based on long-term data and long-term principles that actually make sense, okay? Now, with that being said, how should you be investing your TSP? Because again, that's one of the big three things that you can control. How should you be investing? So here are some principles to consider. Again, if you're young and early in your career, you need the growth and the compounding that happens by being aggressive. Okay? Now, when I say aggressive, what am I talking about? Well, the C fund, the S fund, and the I fund are the aggressive funds in the TSP. They're stock market-based funds. They invest in stocks. Okay? And the stock market, as you all know, does bounce up and down in the short term, but over time, you're going to see more growth there than in the other funds. There's two other funds in the TSP. There are the F fund and the G fund, okay? Now, many of you might ask, like, what about the L fund, right? There's the life cycle funds. There's the L income fund, L 2025, L 2030, all the way up. There's tons of those. However, those are simply just a mixture of these. If you look on the TSP website, you'll figure out that the L funds are not anything unique by themselves. They're simply a combination of the five core funds. So if you don't know what your L fund that you're using is invested in, go look it up. You'll find the combination of what they're using, okay? So again, if you're young and early in your career, you want to focus on these funds, the C, S, and I, the things that are going to get growth over time. Number one, you've got lots of time, right? You've got the time to wait it out, and over time, these investments are going to perform well for you, okay? You're going to get the growth you need to build that TSP, to build wealth over time, okay? Again, if you're early in your career, things are simple. Just pedal to the metal, right? Be aggressive and let it grow. Let it grow. If you are mid-career, it is somewhat the same thought, right? You still got quite a bit of time. You want to be pretty aggressive. However, once you get within, it's hard to know. It varies per person, but a good rule of thumb is once you get within about 10 years of retirement, maybe slow down a little bit. Maybe introduce some of the conservative funds. I'm not saying switch completely over to the safe stuff. I'm just saying maybe introduce some, okay? Now, again, this video is going to be focused on a few different things. I've actually got whole videos on how to invest in the TSP. I'm going to continue and explain a few more things here, but I've got whole videos on investing in the TSP based on where you're at, especially if you're close to retirement. I've got whole videos on specifically that, so go check those out as well if you want more in depth on how you should be thinking about investing in the TSP. Okay? But these are just general principles to at least get you started. Okay? Again, if you're early in your career, pedal to the metal, focus on these. Once you get within 10-ish years or so, maybe start introducing some of the safer funds, right? And as you approach retirement, you're going to want to start slowing down. Okay? About 10 years out, you start tapping the brake a little bit, right? You start tapping the brake by introducing some of the safer funds. As you approach retirement, again, you keep slowing down. Now, even at retirement, though, many people assume, well, by retirement, we want to have all our money in the safe funds, right? The answer is no. When people say safe, that is not a very good term. And I used it too, right? These are the safer or more conservative funds. But it's not actually a correct term, right? Because they are safe from not being volatile. They're not going to be volatile, but they're also not going to grow much over time, right? So they're safe from growth as well, okay? So if we have a long time that we don't need the investments for a while, we don't want the money here. And if you, let's say, are 60 years old and you're retiring, yes, we need a good chunk of your money in safe investments so you can retire and enjoy that money and spend it and use it. However, you're probably going to live another 30 years, right? And you want to make sure a good chunk of your money is also growing for you throughout retirement. So again, it varies significantly based on the individual needs, right? However, kind of the stereotypical retiree allocation is what they call a 60-40, okay? This is kind of the stereotypical retiree allocation, meaning 60% of your money in the CS&I with 40% of your money in the F&G, right? 60% in stocks up here and 40% in bonds right here, okay? Again, that's the stereotypical. I'm not saying that makes sense for you at retirement. Again, that's just kind of the stereotypical one. Just to give you some context of if you want to be 100% G fund, right, in retirement, that's probably not going to perform well for you over time. You're going to get killed by inflation and your buying power is going to get depleted very, very quickly in retirement, okay? But let's do a quick recap, okay? First and foremost, the first thing you can control is how much you put into your TSP, how much you contribute. So do as much as you can. You don't have to kill yourself about it. You don't have to just eat on beans and rice until retirement. But what can you do? Can you do a little bit better? Number two, traditional or Roth. Again, I've got whole videos on traditional versus Roth. Go check those out. But if you're young, early in your career, or you simply just want to pay the taxes now, Roth is a great option. If you're late in your career, making as much as you're going to make, traditional probably makes the most sense. Or if you just want to push off taxes later, or if you're convinced that your tax bracket's going to be lower later, hey, traditional is a great option for you. Last but not least, how are you investing the money? If you save as much as you can, throw as much in there, do the exact traditional Roth that makes sense for you, but you don't invest it in a way that makes sense, you're in trouble. You're not going to have the TSP that you want at retirement. Okay? You need all three of these to maximize your TSP and to get the most out of it. Okay? So I hope that's helpful. Now, if you want personalized advice for you, that's what we do, okay? At our company, that's what we do. There's a bunch of links in the description if you want to learn more about those things, plus tons of free resources and things that we give away for free. But I hope this is helpful to give you some context on the things you can control to get better results in retirement. So I hope that's helpful. Have an incredible rest of your day. I'll see you guys next time.